KPBS On Demand is supported by Project Blank, presenting Working Title, its fifth annual exhibition of art and music, featuring works by artists from across the San Diego region, including an immersive world premiere by Michelle Liu, May 28 through 30. Details at projectblanksd.org.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Wednesday, April 29th. A new Chula Vista ordinance could shed light on how local police interact with federal immigration agents. More on that next, but first, the headlines. The restraining order that requires Rady Children's Health to continue offering gender-affirming care outside of surgeries will now remain in place through June 24th. The Union Tribune reports that a San Diego Superior Court judge extended the restraining order to have more time to consider the case. After Rady announced numerous changes and cuts to their gender-affirming care back in January, Attorney General Rob Bonta sued Rady's to require them to restore a significant portion of their gender-affirming care program. Rady Children says it repealed its program in response to federal threats to cut Medicare, Medicaid, and other form of reimbursements. Rady estimates that federal reimbursements make up roughly 40% of their total revenue. The first Work from the Beach meetup in Pacific Beach was considered by most to be a success. That was back in March. Last Friday, the event's organizer was set to host another one until he got a notice from the city. The city of San Diego told NBC7 that organized events at parks and recreation facilities involving more than 49 people requires a permit, and without one is considered illegal. The city added that the permitting process includes payment of fees and adherence to varying requirements based on the event, like insurance, security, and more. The organizer told NBC7 that he plans to work with the city to get the meetups permitted. The county announced on Monday that it will repay nearly $150,000 to six subcontractors who were not compensated for services provided to the Harm Reduction Coalition of San Diego. This comes about 2 months after the county's district attorney's office accused the nonprofit's COO with taking hundreds of thousands of dollars in public funds and using the money for personal expenses. The county has previously said an independent auditor is conducting a review of its contracting processes. A report on the auditor's findings and recommendations is expected by the end of May. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
KPBS On Demand is supported by the San Diego County Toyota Dealers, presenting a new 2025 RAV4 with on- and off-the-road versatility and available all-wheel drive with gas, hybrid, and plug-in options available. Visit your Toyota dealer for more. The San Diego County Toyota Dealers. We make it easy.
Chula Vista residents are set to receive a first-of-its-kind report on police encounters with federal immigration agents. Reporter Corey Suzuki says it could shed new light on how ICE and other agencies are conducting themselves in the county's second-largest city.
The new ordinance requires Chula Vista officials to disclose any contact between federal immigration agents and local police. Specifically, the ordinance requires the city manager to give written reports to the city council at least twice a year. The city's police chief will also have to issue public incident reports every time officers respond to calls from ICE and other immigration agents.
And therein lies the scary part, is when I tell you I don't have a clear idea of what we're going to see.
Deputy Mayor Cesar Fernandez led the push for the ordinance. On Monday, he held a ceremonial signing.
I've known of and seen about a dozen actions in the city of Chula Vista in 2025, but I'm certain it's much more than that. So I think it's going to be an eye-opener for myself and a lot of people in the city.
ICE has arrested 53 people in Chula Vista since President Donald Trump took office last year, according to the Deportation Data Project. That's up from previous years. Most of them have no criminal records. Fernandez says the city will publish their first report by the end of June. Corey Suzuki, KPBS News.
In other law enforcement news, the CHP just wrapped up a day-long crackdown on speeding. The agency staged a 24-hour maximum enforcement period from early Tuesday until just before 6 this morning. CHP Officer Jared Grieshaber says there have been an unacceptable number of deaths and injuries on California roadways.
We had over 400 deaths, which is, if you think about it, that's at least one a day, all contributed to the speeding. It doesn't take into factors, you know, like DUI and all that other stuff, but that's just because of speeding. We had over 400 deaths and nearly 70,000 injuries.
Getting cited for speeding on freeways and highways is also costly. Grieshaber says tickets can run well into the hundreds of dollars. This year marks 250 years since the Declaration of Independence was signed. As part of our continuing coverage, we talked to attendees at KPBS's recent Be My Neighbor Day. Public Matters reporter Jake Gatta asked them to reflect on their American identity as the anniversary approaches. Here's what they have to say.
My name is Jesse Gomez. It's not great being a Latino right now with ICE and everything going on. I would say the one thing that is making me feel pretty great, at least about my community, is the organizing efforts.
My name is Bianca Ivy. For those who get their citizenship or like want to chase this dream, go about it the right way so that you don't have to live your life in fear either, because there's a lot of great things if you do it the right way.
I'm Dan Davis. I'm thankful to be an American too. 250 years, a big milestone for our country. I don't know about many countries that have gone that far with our constitution and freedom. But I would say right now we gotta stand up for our freedom, our rights, and I think we're going in that direction, but it's, you know, there's other, I guess, adversaries to some degree that don't want us to do that or succeed in that part. So we gotta hold our ground and, you know, be free.
Stay tuned over the coming months as KPBS continues covering local perspectives on 250 years of American history. April is Earthquake Preparedness Month, and state officials say now is the time to make a plan before the next one hits. Anchor Debbie Cruz spoke with Derek Lambeth. He's the Earthquake Early Warning Program Manager with the California Governor's Office of Emergency Services.
As earthquakes become more common, how can residents stay prepared for the long term?
Absolutely. The best thing I would tell people to do to stay better prepared is sign up for alerts, especially the MyShake app.
What are the first things people should do in the event of an earthquake?
If you find yourself in the midst of an earthquake, drop, cover, and hold on, preferably under something sturdy. The best thing we can do is not run. Don't worry about getting to a doorway. Drop, cover, and hold on, or lock, cover, and hold on.
You know, some people believe that you should run outside. That's not the case?
That's a myth, I would say. We're doing our best to promote best practices such as drop, covering, and holding on. If you're outside, you should do the same, preferably away from trees. If you're in bed, just roll over in bed and use a pillow if available to protect your head and vital organs.
And California has that early warning system. So how much time do you people have before they have to act?
It's quite a unique system. The California Earthquake Early Warning System, powered by Shake Alert, can provide up to tens of seconds, depending on how close you are to the epicenter. So unfortunately, the closer you are, the less latency or less alert time you can receive.
And Derek, what is the future of the Earthquake Early Warning System? Changes, improvements?
Sure. Well, I think the key is for people to understand that earthquake early warning, the California Earthquake Early Warning System can do more than just sound an alert before the shaking of a heads up. I mean, to provide a heads up before the shaking of an earthquake, it can also do automated actions such as opening bay doors, strobe lights, PA systems. So imagine a loved one is just about to go under surgery and the doctor sees the strobe lights or hears the alert and knows to hold off before moving forward with surgery. So we see a world where the earthquake early warning equipped building is as common as it is to have smoke detectors and fire alarms.
Let's talk about emergency kits. What suggestions do you have for people who may not be able to stock up on supplies or modify their homes?
Well, I would tell you that do the best you can. If it's important to you now, then it'll probably be important to you later. Do your best to try to ration enough food for at least 3 days. But again, These are all strong suggestions, but it's totally understandable that people may not be able to put everything that's suggested in their kit.
What are some items that people should absolutely include in an earthquake emergency kit?
You're going to want to definitely include medications, your identification, of course, food and water for at least 72 hours after an incident. And that's sort of just the start.
How about papers, information papers, passports and such?
Exactly. Any of your identifications that you might have on you, important records, medical records, all of those are going to be important items that you'll want to have at the ready.
What does an emergency plan look like?
Well, that's a complicated answer, but an emergency plan should look like the best plan for your environment. So if you're at work, what are the things that you should take into account? Where are the exits? Do you have supplies, ample amount of supplies in your environment? Same with at home, and then practice with the people or loved ones within your home or work area. And you can always go to earthquake.ca.gov for more information.
That was Derek Lambeth with the California Governor's Office of Emergency Services, speaking with anchor Debbie Cruz. That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and subscribing. By doing so, you're supporting public media, and I want to thank you for that. Have a great day.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Rug Expo. For over 30 years, Rug Expo has served San Diego. Family-owned and locally operated, offering a large selection of rugs sourced from around the world, providing cleaning, repair, and appraisal services to care for your investment. Learn more at rugexposd.org.